670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. So, Jeffrey, we have a listener, Bill Haltom, who suggested that even though Monday is Fight Song Roundup, when we honor those college teams that deserve to be honored, that we should probably play something for another team that deserves to be honored. And he suggested Shout, which is, of course, the Bills' current sort of fight song. And so that was one
Mr. Brightside
suggestion.
Also.
And then I'll be honest. I struggle with Mr. Brightside because
it's so good.
It's an unbelievably great song to play in the third quarter. Like it is an unbelievable
fourth quarter song. Yeah.
But the Bills didn't like Michigan was doing it first, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
I've never
the Bills just jumped on the bandwagon. Also started playing Mr. Brightside. I mean, it is,
I mean, the Packers did jump around.
The Packers, at least there's a connection.
Yeah, Wisconsin.
There, Wisconsin. So I think we got to go old school.
Yeah, I think we do too.
I think we got to go old school. Yep. It is such a 70s song.
Yeah, but it goes.
Bum, bum, bum.
Didn't know we needed a key change, but I'm glad we got one.
Yep. Just the best. Ah, we will do the fight song roundup when we will honor those college teams that deserve to be honored. We'll also have Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We've got a lot to talk about with everything that happened on the gridiron.
What a weekend.
What a weekend. Just insane. I think we will start just a little bit. You know, I'm somewhat conscious of the fact that we're in Memphis, and this isn't a Buffalo radio show. But
it was Sunday Night Football.
It was Sunday Night Football, and it was an epic game. And to answer the question that I'm sure some of you are asking, no, of course I wasn't. Of course I had bailed.
No, I was trying. So Aaliyah bailed in the third quarter when it got to 15, and then the Bills had to punt.
The Derrick Henry touchdown after the Lamar escape.
Yeah.
Well, come on, man. Seriously? Seriously? And listen, I do feel, as you know, I am a cowardly sports fan. Doesn't mean I don't care. Means I care too much. But I do feel a little some kind of way today because, you know, 20,000 Bills fans left the stadium too, and Josh kind of called them out a little bit afterwards. He said, he actually said, a lot of some people left. He said, that's okay. Have a little faith next time. And I had actually resolved to be a grown-up this year. And this year I was going to, Ben and Peter got together in New York to watch the game. And I,
that is a late night.
And I'm like, I'm going to watch the games this year. And then they're just getting run over. They're just getting played with. Derrick Henry with the Cole Bishop.
There was one of the most insulting stiff arms.
It was just like it was truly the man amongst boys.
And also, I felt bad for Cole.
Three runs of 30-plus yards. The other one, Taylor Rapp, takes a ridiculous angle. He looks like me or you trying to track down Derrick Henry. Come on, man.
I did feel bad for Cole on the stiff arm play because obviously that's a stiff arm that's going to live forever.
Yeah.
But also, that wasn't his, like, there were 10 other guys that missed the tackle. Like, and he's having to come over from, like, the complete other side of the field, and he had no angle.
They were getting toyed with. It was 11 yards a play. It was average. It was insanity.
The Ravens had a 50% rushing success rate.
And this is, by the way, their fullback's hurt and their best blocking tight end is hurt.
Yes.
And they're still, like, there was some speculation because of that. Maybe they're going to have to count on Lamar. Derrick Henry is just a freak. He is how old is he now?
He's got to be 30
how
or 31.
Derrick Henry is still, he's just a giant.
He's 31, I think.
As you've pointed out, it's a horrible matchup for the Bills.
Yes. Bills are designed to stop passing.
Bills are beat to Kansas City to beat Kansas City. They're puny. The Bills are puny.
A lot of DBs on the field.
Terrell Bernard looks like a safety.
Yep.
And he's their middle linebacker. So they're just not. And they're just getting run over. I'm like, I don't need to watch my team get humiliated. So I've hand up, man. But then again, anyone who listens to the show knows I wasn't.
No, there was no expectation.
Then my phone does just absolutely blow up. My phone. Thank you all, by the way, who texted. Phone absolutely blows up. At about what time was that? Let's see.
Probably 10:45.
Just absolutely blows up. So the Bills put together a preposterous comeback. And the way that all comebacks are, any number of things like...
Well, you're going to need help when you're down like that.
You're going to need, yes. Whatever. There's so many stats flying around. With 448, ESPN Analytics said there was a 99.1 chance that the Ravens would win this game.
It felt worse.
And it felt worse than that. Since 2000, leading by 15 or more points, getting possession of the ball with 8 to 10 minutes left. Okay, a team leads by 15 or more, and they get possession with anywhere between 8 to 10 minutes left. That has happened before last night 53 times since 2000. And the teams in that situation had gone 53-0. And now they're 53-1. Josh Allen, that fourth quarter, 17 of 22, 259 yards in the fourth. Last five drives, averages 11.8 yards per pass. First quarterback ever in history to throw for 250 yards and run for two touchdowns in a single quarter. against the Ravens, my God. I mean, this is and then you've got the fact that the Ravens do this. This is something the Ravens do. Here you go. These are all games that this Ravens team basically has lost. They were up 35-14 over Miami with 12:18 left in the fourth quarter and lost that game. They were up 20-3 to the Bills with 13 seconds left in the second quarter. That's not so bad, but and lost that game. They were up 20-10 over the Giants with 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
And lost that game. They were up 19-10 over Jacksonville, not so bad, with 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter and lost that game. They were up 10-0 over Pittsburgh with 3 minutes left in the second quarter and lost that game. They were, et cetera. I mean, this is what they do. It's not, I mean, it seemed crazy and aberrational. And obviously the playoff game last year was just the opposite. They were crawling back. But so tell me what we saw last night.
I think what we saw is all the emphasis to fix the Ravens' pass defense. So far, the returns are not good. Again, it's week one, and they're young, and they're trying to fix it that way. But the idea that they just went and got Jair Alexander and the problem was going to be solved.
They have a second cornerback problem.
Yeah.
Right? They have a problem at the second corner. I'll be honest, though. Like, whose defensive the issues that we saw on defense from both sides last night,
yep.
Which should be more worrisome? The Bills getting overrun physically, particularly given that they might well meet again, or the fact that the Ravens have a problem at their second cornerback?
I would be more concerned overall about the secondary, because the Bills have a specific problem against one team. How many other teams can replicate what they're doing?
They probably will face this team.
Maybe the Chargers. Yeah, but that's also the other thing is, like, what if the Ravens like kind of have a get over the hump problem? This is what
is this as simple as? I mean, people are like, well, why didn't Josh throw for 250 yards in the first, second, and third quarters? Is this as simple as the Ravens started to play differently on offense and defense. In other words, Keon Coleman started making all those plays once they played soft. Like, is this the whole prevent defense thing? And early on, they're trying to score touchdowns, and at the end, they're just trying to burn clock. Is this just an example of
that? They were definitely
that?
Less aggressive, but I think the other problem is, so because I did not feel like the Bills' offensive line had a particularly good game
in
general.
Not a good game at all. They were getting stuffed in the first half.
I think what Baltimore was thinking about was, okay, we're still getting pressure with our front, but the thing is, you can get pressure on Josh. He's inviting it. He just kind of slips out of it, and then he gets outside, and he's waiting to make a play down the field. And at that point, you know, you're not – like, it's only a big deal if you can get there and sack him, and they didn't.
It is irrational to say that Josh is better than Patrick Mahomes because Patrick Mahomes is the Super Bowls, right? And we've seen what we've seen from Patrick Mahomes.
Yes. Okay?
That is irrational to say that. You can't make an argument based on what you're seeing with your eyeballs now. Can you make an argument that Josh is currently the best quarterback in the NFL?
So I thought Friday was interesting because on Friday night,
of course, they got no Worthy now. They got no Rashee Rice now.
Like, I'm still sitting there going, like, the Mahomes, the throw on 4th and 10 or whatever. You're just like, oh my God, who can do that?
Right.
I think the thing that I find interesting is we seem to collectively as a society, we want to rush to bury the Chiefs. And then there's this rush to also crown the Ravens every single year. Like last night was the fastest we've ever crowned the Ravens. We crowned them in half. And it's like,
by the way, this is why, if you're asking me why Josh won the MVP over Lamar,
it's look at the team.
Look at what they have to do.
Right.
One has Derrick Henry to hand the ball to, and one has Zay Flowers to throw the ball to.
Yes.
One doesn't like either of those things. Right. And I mean, maybe the difference between Zay Flowers and either whether it's Shakir or Coleman isn't as big, but it's still big, honestly.
I think it's pretty big.
It's pretty big. Like, that's
how many times
Zay
does Shakir
Flowers
run?
Is a true number one receiver who scares you.
He's open.
And he's like, open
you
all
know what
the
mean?
Time.
Like you see, like he's open.
Josh is throwing into windows.
Correct.
And Lamar is throwing to open dudes.
Yes.
It's just like it is what they are asked to do on behalf of their team. Now, Lamar's unbelievable, too.
Yes.
For him to escape that sack, he is a freaking wizard. And I don't understand. Like, here's the other question. Do you, looking back at it, they've got 4th and 3
yeah.
from their own 38 with 1:33 left. You've got Lamar. You've got Derrick Henry. You've averaged about 10 yards a play. And if you punt, it's to Josh Allen, and all they need is a field goal. Was it the mistake to punt?
I think yes, because I look at it this way. I had Bills money line, and I'm sitting there going, please punt it.
Right.
Like, in the end, so the Ravens also had all their timeouts. So
the Bills
yes,
had no timeouts. Right.
The Bills had no timeouts. So if you indeed don't get it,
then you give up the field goal early or
correct.
A touchdown early.
And you've got a really good chance of getting the ball back.
The truth of the matter is they would have gotten the ball back if Keon Coleman hadn't been tripped up going in for the touchdown.
Yes.
You know? And so that's why it was a field goal instead. And
do get that, but like you're in real time, you know.
No. I don't. If you're Coleman, you score.
But I'm saying like in real time, I'm not saying like don't tackle. You know, because I guarantee you in the huddle, saying like let him score because it was whatever.
And then 41-year-old Matt Prater. Comes in and kicks the field goal.
Was it Hamilton? Who was it? I still can't believe he didn't block it.
Hamilton himself couldn't believe he didn't block it.
I mean, because he was able to time it up perfectly because of the clock.
Yep.
So he timed it up perfectly. Unbelievably athletic jump to get over the line clean.
I still believe in the Ravens, man. I still believe in the Ravens.
I'm with
Ravens,
you, but my point is they have – there's something.
Is there something? There's something till there's not. The Ravens, this is it. Like over the last few years, they're able to add Zay Flowers. They're able to add Hamilton. They're able to add – like they keep adding star-level pieces to a star-level cast. And then the catch that Hopkins made.
I mean, I was convinced
– unbelievable.
I was convinced it was AI. Like, that was insane.
And he's just a guy on that team now.
I think that was his first target.
So I'm not that. I'm picking the Ravens to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
Holy smokes, that was wildly entertaining. And I do think, listen, it was Sunday Night Football. What a way to start. All right. We'll get back to more NFL stuff because
we had a wedding in Cleveland. did you see that?
I did see that.
That was awesome.
Did you like in terms of the most notable, what's the next most notable thing that happened? Was it Green Bay doing what they did to Detroit? Was it Aaron Rodgers and the Steelers winning in thrilling fashion over the Jets? Was it the Colts demolishing the Dolphins? Was it the Jackson Dart era appearing to loom closer with the way your Giants were destroyed? Was it the Chargers knocking off the Chiefs? What was the next most notable thing?
I felt like, and again, there were fewer games at this moment, and so you could kind of focus on this one. I thought the Packers looked scary.
I think the Packers look scary.
Now, I've also quietly got some concerns about the Lions and did for most of the summer.
Well, I lament that I may have had that wrong. I just was offended. Everyone picked the Giants to take a massive step back because the coordinators,
Lions, because the
coordinator's gone, obviously. And I'm like, that's disrespectful to the head coach and to the players. They're going to be fine. You people are counting them out. I think the other thing that happened that I wasn't accounting for is they also lose their center and
that,
guard.
That
right
was
now
what concerned
Zyler.
Me. Yeah, because they got pushed. Like, that is an offensive around. Line that pushes people around, and they got pushed around last night.
As much
or yesterday
as
afternoon.
And maybe Ben Johnson would have fixed it had Ben Johnson still been there.
I don't know.
But when you lose Zeidler and Ragnow,
yes.
The guts of your offensive line, I think that is.
And you're trying to replace them with rookies and guys that, like, it's just going to take a minute. I think
that could be it. It could just take a minute, right?
I think you could also say, I've got the Dolphins on.
What's wrong there too?
Real bad vibes. Watch.
Oh my god,
that was a sad, sad looking game.
And they got Tua. Tua is owed fully guaranteed $54 million next year.
Yep,
he will be the quarterback. He will be there for the next 2 years. They are not. They can't go into full rebuild. But I do think they've emerged as a possible number one pick. Contender. But, of course, let's not overreact, Jeffrey.
New
Orleans, didn't New Orleans start 2-0 last year?
They did, and like they were, remember, they were reinventing offense.
They were reinventing offense. So we shall see. But honestly, when you look at the AFC now and the fact that everybody lost except the Bills, and then you look at the AFC East, and then you look at the AFC broadly speaking, and you see what the Chiefs have to deal with and what the Ravens have to deal with, I think it's a that was a big game from that perspective. Like the Chiefs, the Chiefs got the Eagles next, right? I think
yes.
The Chiefs have the Eagles next, and then
I think that's the 3:25 game next
the,
week.
The Ravens have the Browns next. But then they got two really tough ones after that. And then if you look in the AFC West, how about this for a thing of beauty? Chargers 1-0, Raiders 1-0, Broncos 1-0, bringing up the basement, the Kansas City Chiefs at 0-1. I still thought,
and again, I was calling an MUS game during that, so I've mainly watched on replay. That game was largely determined by the missed extra point. Like, the whole time they were just trying to, the math got off.
Yep, got screwed up.
And I give Herbert credit. Herbert made big plays and was able to salt that game away.
It was a magnificent game.
Yes, he was fantastic.
From Herbert. Okay, we'll get back to the NFL again in the second hour.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
We are going to talk college football. We'll do the fight song roundup coming up next. We'll start with the University of Memphis. It wasn't quite the dramatic comeback that the Bills had last night, but it looked ugly in the first half. You're like, holy crap, are they ever going to be able to stop anybody? New year, same defense.
Yep.
Like that was the TJ Finley comes in. And by the way, he'd been on campus since May. He was activated last year, but TJ Finley comes in and is perfect. And then he gets hurt and Cameron Brown comes in and he's awesome. And the Tigers gave up 242 passing yards in the first half. They're just like, holy crap, is this happening? You sort of, this is a team that got disemboweled by Ole Miss last week, and now all of a sudden they're taking it to Memphis. And then you had the kick at the end of the first half, the 55-yarder. And there's been some question about how you pronounce his name on the broadcast. Spetic is how they pronounced it. Spetic, I think, might be the proper pronunciation. Gianni from 55 yards. And it did feel like they're getting overrun, right? They can't stop anyone. And you're like, holy crap, what's happening here? Yeah, you get DeRozier in a boot. And then the second half was just totally different. They literally controlled the play from beginning to end. The first half, Georgia State, the first five drives, all get to at least to the Memphis 34. Now they had the missed field goal. They had the stuff on fourth down, but they got two TDs out of it. With 11:19 left in the half, total yards 237 to 87 at the half, total yards 313 to 192. And then in the second half, you're like, oh, that's what Memphis is supposed to look like. Controlling the ball, Brendan Lewis running, passing, mixing it up the way that he does.
Didn't have an incompletion in the second half.
What?
He did not have an incompletion in the second half.
Did not have an incompletion in the second half. Ends up 16 to 20, 196 yards. Yeah, he was 7 for 7 in the second half. Sutton Smith, good. It was interesting. Just totally different game, totally in control. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about, is this going to be the game that whatever fears or concerns are going to be washed away? No, but they went on the road. They faced adversity in the first half, and then they came and they played a dominant second half. They put the game away, and they took care of business. So it's kind of in that category of, I'm not alarmed, but I don't sit there and go like, okay, this team's running the table.
To the extent that you are either optimistic about this team or worried about this team, why either?
So I am a little bit more optimistic because I do think this team is able to run the football. Like, I don't think that's coincidence. I don't think that's just opponent adjusted. Now, what I do get concerned by is if you're in a game where Lewis has to, like, if you face a team that can take away the run and force him to beat them, I mean,
there's no question.
That's what I'm
running
worried about.
The ball is you know, and is he going to be able to do that against Arkansas?
I don't know.
You know,
maybe, because I don't know if, like, Arkansas's offense is, I think, very good, but their defense is pretty pedestrian.
He's looked good. He has looked like everything one would have hoped he would look like: efficient passer, offense passer, and a dynamic runner.
Yes. Right?
Defensively, listen, they're getting a DeMarco Ward pick six every single game.
Yeah,
that's a nice trend. Two for two so far, so that's good. You know, we'll obviously learn more. They get Troy this week. Troy was
frisky against Clemson.
Up on Clemson, 16 to zip, and ended up Clemson. Clemson pushed him around. The truth of the matter is in the second half and won. It was
very rain. Whatever they had like a flood that was.
Clemson ends up winning 27-16 in that one. And part of Troy, got a pick six on the fluky play at the. So that's happening. Obviously, it's a tricky game. It's an early game too, and so early game at Troy, like, that is. It would be deflating to go down there and win as you're setting up the Arkansas game. And then you look around the conference, and we'll get to this, of course. Tulane didn't look like world beaters, but as USF was world beaters. USF with really the biggest story of the weekend, beating Florida.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say they looked like world beaters, but you know what they looked like? We are completely going to let Florida beat themselves.
Right.
And like sometimes if your opponent keeps making mistakes, just let them do it. But they were able to move the ball more consistently than I thought they were going to.
And Byron Brown does what he does.
He's a very good player.
Like
when they have him, they have been a very good team the last 2 years.
They win 18-16 because of literally maybe the stupidest penalty I've ever seen in my entire life.
Especially when you consider on Thursday night, on a game that every human being in the country is watching, I presume every college team had a meeting the next day.
You would have to show the film,
Don't spit on someone.
And literally, it's second and long. Florida's up 16-15, and Brendan Bett with the loogie. I mean, truly. Now, mind you, once upon a time, Florida lost a game because a player threw a shoe.
I believe it, Marco Wilson, I believe.
But I think this is because there you didn't have previously in the week, earlier in the week, a shoe-throwing incident to alert you to the dangers of shoe-throwing. Here, we had just seen a loogie incident to alert you to the dangers of spitting on someone, and you do it. And by the way, this is a worse moment. This is not at the beginning of a game. Who knows what's going to happen? This is...
Your team needs you. You need to stop.
This enabled Nico Gramatica, son of
the great. We have another one.
To kick the winning field goal, and now you've got Florida's in desperate trouble. Florida next has LSU, then Miami, then Texas, then Texas A&M. Those are their next four.
And it's like the same thing that has plagued them under Napier continues to plague them. They have these like terrible, can't get aligned penalties, undisciplined. It's just the same thing. It's like just this category of all these mistakes, and it's like self-inflicted.
He is now 20-20 is Billy Napier at Florida. Dan Mullen at the same juncture was 31-9. And so there you go. Listen, they rallied to save his job at the end of last year. I suppose they could again, but the quarterback's not looking great, and they just, you would expect some fire, right? Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the bigger question is like, what was the outlier? This or the Ole Miss and the LSU games last year?
And those were the outliers.
I think that when you look at the entirety of the 40 games, this one looked a lot like what we've seen.
USF is ranked 18, and they go to Miami next. How about that? Crazy.
I mean, but their season is already – the start of their season, when you looked at it, you saw the first three games were Boise, Florida, and Miami, two of which were on the road. And you're sitting there going, man, if they just get one of them, they're going to be fine.
And they got two.
And they've gotten two.
Oh, no. If they now win the conference, they will be the representative, right? I mean, you've done what you needed to do.
Yes.
Obviously, they now need Boise to be good, right? They need Boise to be good. They need Florida to be good. Whatever. They would like that. It looks
better. I mean, I think they're now at the point where, hey, man, just like don't get absolutely.
Don't get destroyed next week. Don't get humiliated by Miami.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got to come to Memphis.
Yeah.
Okay. We will take a break, and then we'll come back and we'll do the fight song roundup. Coming up next, it's Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he is here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, it's fun over the weekend to not have any AC or heat or anything on, like just to have it the temperature. Jeffrey, did you have
just
that
fall.
Experience?
Oh, yeah.
It was just fall. And just fall is another season when you should go to Oak Hall. Shirts, quarter zips, hoodies, all in official NCAA registered colors from Peter Millar. So whether you're a fan of Memphis, rolling, Ole Miss, rolling, well, we'll get to them. Tennessee, rolling, Arkansas, Alabama, Oak Hall has what you need for the fall. Again, quarter zips, hoodies, Peter Millar shirts, all in official colors. Plus, no matter what you're wearing up top, you want some new slacks, new shorts for the tailgate, head on into Oak Hall or pick up a sport coat. Maybe you got a fall wedding. I have a fall wedding in Maine later on, actually, in October. Pick up a new sport coat. Stunning, beautiful new sport coats from Oak Hall. And the same incredibly helpful people, beyond helpful. Helpful doesn't begin to describe the level of shopping experience at Oak Hall. Get there sometime this week. It was suggested. Well, one thing Rex Ryan evidently said, he got a text about this, was that in the end, Harbaugh trusted his defense more than he trusted Lamar, and he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have the Super Bowl winning defense. That it, you know, who should you trust, the Baltimore defense or Lamar?
And I get it. Like, my whole thing was, like, even if you didn't get it, there was a better chance of you getting the ball back only right. down.
I think that's right.
A point.
I think that's right. I think it was a mistake. All right, let's do the fight song roundup. University of Memphis beats Georgia State 38-16. We've talked about it, but I wanted to, every chance we get to play the Memphis fight song, we should do it. But let's go on to the next one, Jeffrey, because this one is much deserved. How about that, Jeffrey?
I mean, what a game.
What a game and what a throw.
What a route.
What a route. 58 yards.
Not sure what the defense was, but again.
Just insane. Arizona State comes back.
What a stop.
Take the lead.
I mean, at first I'm sitting there thinking, like, should they let them score? Like, maybe. But they hadn't done anything offensively in the second half. And you're like, nah, you're better off trying to, like, see if you can hold this thing to a field goal.
It felt like. I don't know about my investments. It felt like you had a down week. Is that true overall?
Oh, no, we closed strong.
That's what I told you. It started low. So,
I told you it was going to be a fourth.
I was going to say, this is one you 100% nailed.
I told you it was going to be a. I told everyone week two was going to be a fourth quarter game. And I know everybody.
What was the record? What was the record?
6-5.
Oh.
We won 4 out of 5 to close the night.
Oh, that's good. And you certainly had this one right.
Yeah.
And you do wonder.
And then I was afraid I had it wrong when I thought they were going to punch it in.
You do wonder. Obviously, last year was atrocious.
Yes.
For Mississippi State.
They have a much different looking football team this year.
And you were high on Shapen all summer long.
I like guys that play baseball.
This year is not last year. Sometimes we make the mistake. We think that last year is this year, right?
Correct.
And that's you might have thought that for Mississippi State, and you might have thought that for Arizona State. It's not. It's for either. By the way, it wasn't. By the way, a great you got Baylor already losing that game to Auburn. You got this. It's not starting out to be a great year.
Well,
for the
Baylor
Big 12,
did bounce back,
and then you got Oklahoma State, which we'll get to.
Oh boy, Baylor did bounce back.
Huge bounce back with the win over SMU.
It was shaping up to where you thought, okay, maybe the Big 12 could have a good day here, and then it just turned.
Kansas is another one, right? Kansas is another one.
Well, then Kansas State.
Oh, Kansas State gets embarrassed by Army. Yeah, by an Army team that lost to Tarleton State.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a great day for the Big 12, but it was a great day for Mississippi State and the Bulldogs and the Cowbells and congratulations.
I was very appreciative. Did not look like there was a lot of responsible ringing of the cowbells on Saturday.
Did not look like there was responsible ringing.
But I appreciate that. I made that request.
All right. While we're on the topic, we're not going to play the Tennessee fight song because it was East Tennessee State, right? I mean, but 72 points, that's pretty good. Joey Aguilar, 288, two touchdowns in the first half. They had 427 yards of offense in the first half. They're up 48-7, and they've got Georgia next, and Georgia fans are really concerned because they're struggling to beat Austin Peay.
Yeah.
Struggling, but not looking their most efficient selves, and there's real questions about Gunnar Stockton. He was 26 of 34, 227 yards, but 14 of those completions were screens, and four others of those completions were 5 yards or less, so that gets 18 out of the 26 completions were basically gimmies, handoffs, essentially. Massive game looming between Tennessee and Georgia.
Yeah, I've done the move now where I just do not react to Georgia in non-conference play. I mean, we're now at the point where, yet again, here's another spread by 38 or more. They don't cover.
Who cares?
I'm not doing anything with Georgia until I see this weekend.
Okay. Arkansas also rolled over Arkansas State, 56-14. You've said you like their offense.
I like their offense. I've always felt like I'm higher on Taylen Green than everyone else is, but you know, they've got a great opportunity on Saturday.
And maybe we should be playing the Ole Miss fight song because it was an SEC. Let's throw in an extra. Do we have the let's throw in Ole Miss here. We'll throw in an Ole Miss fight song. It's an SEC game.
So they were on the road.
On the road.
They have two turnovers to start the game.
And boy, they were hideous.
And they were looking shaky.
They were hideous turnovers. I was like, oh my God. Just absolutely rattled. One was on the bad snap.
There was a low snap, and then he just kind of panicked. And then the other was an underthrow on a post pattern. But like, if you look at it, it's like teams in the SEC on the road that lose the turnover battle by two or more were
lose
like
the game.
7-71, and they won the game fairly comfortably.
Well, you were sure right about Calzada. My God. What a horror show that is.
Honestly, like he got banged up at the end and like
that seemed like a good thing.
Yeah, it was almost like, okay, it's like now they can throw the ball a little bit.
Oh no, 100%. He leaves and they're immediately
like they could move the ball.
No, it was the time of game where they had to do that, but that was really ugly. What was the line that you didn't bet this in the end, right?
Correct.
But if you I think the line mostly was 9.5.
It was somewhere between 8.5 and 9.5, depending on where you got it.
And you got effed by the late field goal.
So I saw a lot of Ole Miss fans that were complaining, backdoored.
That's the right play to do because you do that, then you get the onside kick.
Well, on top of that, the only time Ole Miss was covering the entire game was when they hit the field goal to go up 10. That wasn't a backdoor. You almost backdoored them.
I can see why you're irritated by that.
You see what I'm saying? Like it's like, I don't know. Kentucky, did you see how quickly they got out of there? I think Kentucky fans have just had enough of Mark Stoops.
Well, it's tough when it is, and this is a little bit reminding me a little bit of the old Memphis teams, like the Rip Shear Memphis teams. It's tough when your offense is just that inept. Because your defense can do whatever it can do, can hang in there, can force turnovers, everything else. And if you can't do anything offensively, it just sucks the life out of you.
It's just not a fun watch.
It's not a fun watch at all. So there you go. Anyway, they get the win. Simmons does look hurt. Like, he looked like, coming off the field, I wonder if he'd ever walk again.
Well, no, I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I was like, oh, boy, are we going to have a drama
queen?
But
they say he's fine.
So they said he was clear to go back in. He's clearly going to be hobbled. I do think part of not going back in was they put in the backup who's a better pure runner, and they were trying to salt the game away.
All right. Who are we playing now? How much have we played this ever?
We did have it in the system, but It took me a while to find it.
Oh, we talked about the South Florida game. This is the South Florida fight song. They beat Florida 18-16. This is not one that you or anyone else, like John Martin is doing a gambling column over the Daily Memphian now. He's not doing a picks column per se. He's writing a column about what's happened during the week, where the money's going, yep. And really interesting stuff, honestly. And what that says about the games. But I think the last sentence of the column, he decided to interject his personal opinion, and he said Florida should roll. I expect Florida to roll. I think you expected Florida to roll, because there was something about the South Florida win over Boise that felt kind of not fraudulent, but aberrational, right?
It was unsustainable. It was big shot plays, but down to down, they were not very good.
But it is interesting. How unsustainable is letting just Byron Brown freelance? Make big plays. That seems to be.
It's going to work until he gets hurt. And maybe he doesn't. Maybe this is the year where he has good health.
Anyway, South Florida, again, they're ranked and emerging as the favorite right now in the American, but they come to Memphis. So, you're going to have your shot. They got Miami coming up next. Florida, it's funny. People are already saying Alec Golish is going to be the next coach at Florida. Where are you on the Billy Napier firing?
I think it's going to happen.
Now only owed $19.4 million at the end. It's funny how now that's become only. I now hear buyouts in the teens, and I'm like, oh, that's cheap.
Well, the other thing is,
it's not.
It's like I need to know. Now what seems to matter more than anything is what is the buyout structure? So part of the reason why Kentucky, people that understand the Kentucky situation say he's not getting fired is because his entire buyout is owed within 60 days. So if it's one of these buyouts that can be stretched out over the remainder, monthly installments over the remainder of the deal, then maybe. But, I mean, they have enough games left that, like, you can overcome it. But it's like, if they're losing in the same way that they've always lost, why would I think that this is going to be different?
What strikes you, though, is, again, that's a humiliating loss for Florida. And now they've got LSU and then Miami and then Texas A&M. Okay? Those are their next four. So you could easily imagine them at 1-5. But I'll say this. One of the things the early returns from the SEC might be.
Take the points.
Yeah, there's a lot of parity. Like LSU looked tremendous a week ago, and then you're like, oh, maybe Clemson's isn't so good. And then LSU not only struggles yesterday or Saturday, they lose to the offensive linemen.
Yep.
Like they have some injury issues now. Texas obviously, looks better, whatever, somewhat.
I believe in that defense.
You believe in the defense, but yeah, like, is there, and Oklahoma did what they did. But honestly, is there any team that can't beat another team, which you wouldn't normally say? Mississippi State's better. It feels like the bottom's better. Vandy's doing what Vandy's doing. Mississippi State looks more credible. Like, Kentucky can't score against anyone. Maybe that's – but, like, and then at the top, who's going to win?
And this is what happened last year. The difference between the Big Ten and the SEC was, until Michigan beat Ohio State, no team in the top four of the Big Ten lost to anyone other than each other. They were just killing the rest.
And you have it again. Right now, you know that in the Big Ten, it's either going to be Ohio State,
Oregon,
or Penn State, or Oregon are going to win that conference, right? I can tell you, like, one of those three are going to win that conference, and those are the clear chalk. Who are the clear three who are better than everybody else, indisputably, in the SEC? You can't tell me.
No, I mean, I think you'd have to say right now, LSU.
But indestructible? No.
No. There's no monster.
Tennessee?
I need to see more.
I need to see him against real.
This Saturday's a big opportunity for Tennessee.
Georgia? Alabama looked better? Like, I'm not crossing off Alabama forever.
No, but, like, that's kind of the other thing. Alabama's, like, keeps riding this roller coaster. I think you can say Texas's defense is enough of a standard, and that you think their offense can come along. But, man, the fact that they weren't able to cover against San Jose State despite getting four turnovers, like, their offense was very, like,
All right, who's next? We had two coaches in their fourth year who seemed to be teetering, one the head coach at Florida and one the head coach at Oklahoma. And they are in very different situations right now as Brent Venables.
Particularly after this weekend.
Massive win over Michigan. And I know you don't have the Mateer gene. He was great.
He also, you saw.
A little wild, a little crazy.
He's going to put it up.
And he may get broken.
Right.
And he is going to put it up. Fun to watch, though. He's a fun watch.
I totally co-sign all that.
And stunningly different than last year.
Yes.
As an offensive. And honestly, that defense was, I mean, mind you, Michigan won't let any, like Bryce Underwood was not good. And maybe just a freshman in that situation won't be. But they don't let him do anything either.
That's the other problem is like, now it's 3rd and 12. Go throw. What I thought was the most impressive thing Oklahoma did, they largely shut down the run game. Yes,
totally.
Haynes had the 75-yarder, right. But really other than that, how many times was Michigan able to line up and say, like, all right, here we come?
It could not.
Like, that was what I was impressed
by. The Oklahoma defense looked vicious,
yes.
Fast.
Physical.
Again, like, who can't Oklahoma beat in the SEC? And the answer is nobody.
I agree. No, I also
think they could lose to almost anybody.
Right.
Like,
I think
they
that's
could lose
the story of the SEC.
Of yeah.
That's why I remember when you were asking me last week how many teams do I think they're going to get in, and I'm not convinced they get more than
you're
three
back
in.
To three because they're going to eat each other.
Feels like a lot of that. Great scene on Saturday night, too.
Speaking of great scenes, Jeffrey, let's do the next one. Did we play Vandy last week, too? Did we play Vandy last week?
No, because remember they had just a schedule win.
That's right.
Charleston Southern?
So Virginia Tech's up 20-10 at the half. And you're like, oh, Virginia Tech's bouncing back.
No, not. I never panicked.
You know.
I knew who had me.
5 for 5 touchdown drives in the
second
half. Diego
has us all in his hands.
He's
storytelling,
baby. No arrests, as far as I can tell, from the family, right?
Again, I told you that was baked in the mouse. I didn't view that as a deterrent. Right. That showed me, hey, it's the FCS game. We're not going to get arrested on a big road weekend.
No. Congratulations to Vandy. We have other teams we could congratulate here. Before we blow someone up, we could congratulate Iowa State. We could congratulate Missouri. We could congratulate Baylor, which we've briefly mentioned. Army. UNC. How about that?
Yeah.
Bill Belichick gets his first win and afterwards does confirm that Pats are not welcome on the UNC campus. He said, it's clear I'm not welcome around their facility, so they're not welcome at ours. I admire the candor, you know.
Yeah.
There. I admire the candor. Anyone else you would like to tip your cap to? Before we blow someone up, we had a lot of choices as to who to blow up here, but one stuck out. Let's do that. Woo! You called this one too. Oregon 69, Oklahoma State 3.
I think Dan was upset because he was not able to get 50 in the first half.
Mike Gundy was 0-9 in the Big 12 last year. I think you're right, though. Like, in the end, earlier last week, he's complaining about how much money Oregon spends and how little money Oklahoma State spends. And you called us 100%. He knew what was going to happen.
Exactly. Coaches know when there's just a mismatch. And boy, was there a mismatch.
And you could say that he was also trying to inspire his boosters to give more.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's going to be around to benefit from the more.
I just have no idea because I don't know what their financials are.
Others we could blow up. We got
Florida.
We could have blown up Florida. Very
good. We chose to honor USF. Could have blown up UCLA.
West Virginia. Yeah, UCLA is another one. UCLA losing to UNLV. The Nico experience isn't off to a great start there. West Virginia, Rich Rod, loses to Ohio.
Yeah, Parker Navarro is a really fun G5 quarterback for Ohio.
He had 3 picks.
Yeah, but he's an electric factory.
And West Virginia still, with the benefit of three picks, could not win that game.
They have some problems offensively.
K-State loses to Army. Anyone else? Any other candidates to blow up? That may be it.
No, I think that about does it.
You're right, though. It turned out to be
a fun weekend.
A fun weekend. And now we got a splendid week. It feels like
big one. Yeah,
coming up. All right, we'll get more to the NFL in the second hour. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Before then, I will tell you, if you're looking for a new financial institution, I will remind you, head on over to Leaders Credit Union. If you're someone like me who likes to walk into a place, they've got a beautiful new branch office in Arlington. We went to the one in Bartlett, but you can go to either of those. Or if you're not a dinosaur like me and you just want to download the app, you can do that. And what you will discover is that Leaders Credit Union makes it easy to do your banking, whether it's open up a checking account, whether it's getting a mortgage, whether it's getting a car loan. Leaders Credit Union, leaderscu.com/ESPN. No, /ESPN.com, whatever. It's Leaders. You can find them on the web. Leaders Credit Union. I go there. Claire goes there. Her kids go there. Jason Smith's kids go there. This is a place that we endorse because, honestly, We use it. We've experienced it and found it to be a credit union, a banking institution that you will find to be an absolute pleasure. We're going to take a break, come back, talk to Chris Harrington on the other side. Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
670 The Score's Mullin Haw is where Chicago starts their day with Bears Talk from 5:30 till 10 a.m.
For Ben Johnson, coaching Caleb Williams, you formulate what you want to do into what he can do.
They got the guy who can scheme guys open, who will make a difference, that can get people to think that they're better than they are. Ben Johnson schematically makes you think the Bears will be better as long as he's here.
If you missed it live, listen to The Score's Mullin Haw Show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.